Good morning, church.
Good morning, brother.
And Merry Christmas. And Merry Christmas. You know, this is the only place we can say that most of the time. Let's say it one more time. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You know, when Sarah goes, I get even more excited because then we have fill-ins like Michelle and Joni. Joni, thank you so much for your music. It was beautiful. And there'll be more. And I want you all to know that we will have our first Grace Christian Fellowship wedding here at 1 o'clock of Violet and John, for which I am so excited. And we, Ginger and I, have had a chance to be with John and Violet for the last, 9 weeks? And we are just blown away about their commitment to Christ and how they want this wedding to glorify Him. And I want to thank the both of them. If you want to know a little bit more about John and Vi, now's your time. Shake their hands. Give them a hug. Give everybody a hug. And let's greet everybody in the name of the Lord. Let's do that. We're going to start a new tradition. I think we'll pick a day in which we'll get together and just hug and shake hands with one another. Amen. Let's not go that far, John. I remember when my son Noah was born, which, by the way, was celebrated yesterday, 31 years ago. And we brought him home from the hospital with this little cardboard-type cradle. He was our firstborn. And we looked at him, and we kind of looked at one another, and we did one of these. It's like, what in the world do we do now? What do we do now? Both her parents and my parents lived over 100 miles away. We knew that we weren't going to get help from them. And it's definitely, we have never done this before. A new baby, a new life, new responsibilities. I had a lot of growing up to do. That's one responsibility. And the understanding that we have a human being entrusted to our keeping. And as we gazed into that little box cradle, that cardboard box cradle from the hospital, we were in true amazement that this young creature was now ours. Many things go through a man's mind as he stares at his baby son. What child is this? What child is this? What kind of man will he turn out to be? Will he be big and strong? Will he play sports? Maybe a musician, an engineer, a writer. And what plan does God have for the son of Merle and Ginger McGee? You can only imagine what went through Mary and Joseph's mind as they looked at this Christ child and this manger in a barn with all the farm animals and wondered about his future. But they knew he was no ordinary child. They were told by an angel that this child was going to be special, that this child had a destiny for the world, this little child. And Mary was told in Luke 1:32-33, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. Wow. What would we do if we were told that? Not only was Mary and Joseph told those words, but the nature and destiny of this child would never be in question for those that knew the prophecy of the coming Messiah. For God foretold the coming of this child in Isaiah 42. And answered many questions concerning what child this will be and what his future and destiny will be. Our scripture reading comes from Isaiah 42. So I ask you to turn your Bibles. We will be reading verse 1 through 10. Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 10. But before we do that, turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to study God's word about his son. Go ahead, turn to your neighbor. It's time to study God's word about his son. Amen. Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 10. Here's my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you excited about your word and excited about what you had to say about your son in Isaiah 42. So when someone has asked, what child is this? As we look at this Christ child in the manger, we know exactly what child this is. We know that this is the Son of God. Lord, with everything within me, I ask, Lord, that you will present your word to us in such a fresh, new way that when we leave this building, we know that we have been with you. We ask for your anointing here today. We ask, Lord, for your quiet spirit. We ask, Lord, that you will use me as your vessel to give forth the gospel, the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of what child this is. What child this is that was born 2009 years ago. So with that, Lord, we present ourselves to you. We open our minds. We open our hearts to what you have to say to us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said.
Amen.
Isn't it interesting that it was over 700 years before the birth of Christ that this passage in Isaiah 42 was written? And you can almost sense that God was looking down at that Christ child in the manger when he said those words, and when you read it. In Jerusalem, at the time of this child's birth, it was a perfect storm. It's a perfect storm of the need for a Savior. A perfect storm because you had Herod the king that was taxing everybody around. A perfect storm because you had the captivity of the nation of Israel by the Romans, who were brutal, who also taxed and beat up on the downtrodden. was a perfect storm for the Savior because you also had the legalism in the temple priests, putting guidelines and restrictions and restrictions and restrictions and restrictions and talking more about the law than the intent of the law. And yes, selling sacrifices for exorbitant amounts. For the common man that lived back then, they needed a Savior bad, because they were in oppression 24/7. Isaiah 42:14 says this, and I love this because this is God birthing the child in the manger. For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. That's our God saying, I can't wait anymore. My creation needs me. I need to send my son down there. It's now time for God to send a servant, his son, to make a new covenant with us and bring salvation to all mankind. And the time of deliverance had come both for the baby boy as well as the world. And it is in verses 1 through 10 that we understand what child this is in the manger in Bethlehem. The words are from the Father. I'm going to walk you through these words as if it's the Father talking. No, I am not God. I tried that once. It didn't work. But let me show these passages to you with a passion given of Almighty God that sent his Son down to save the world. First of all, in verse 1, we see God presenting his Son. He said, here's my Son. Here's my Son. He's a servant. He's not a slave, but he will be serving mankind. He will be serving mankind in every which way possible. He's my chosen. He's mine. He's the one I chose because he's the only perfect sacrifice that I can send down to that world. There's no man alive that's without blemish. My chosen one, my son, whom I delight and I enjoy. It makes me smile. It does everything that I want him to do. Not because he's working for me, but because he loves me. That's my son. I delight in him. And I will tell the world that when he's baptized by John the Baptist and he goes down in the water and comes up, I will open the skies and say, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. That's my boy. And when he grows to manhood, my spirit will be upon him. So every time you see him, you see a reflection of me. That's my spirit on him. And there's going to be no confusion who I am as God, because I'm going to send my spirit on him and he will be the spitting image of his Father. This baby's future is to bring justice to the world. We need justice in this world. We all, as individuals, we want things done right. And he will make things right. But he will make things right by justifying our sins on the cross. That's how he'll make things right. No work of ourselves. Only his magnificent work of sacrifice to take the sins that, to take the penalty of sins that we deserve. When what's my son's nature? What is my son's nature? He's not going to shout out on the streets. He's not going to say, here I am, the King, the Son of God. No. He's going to be born in a manger, in a stable with animals.
He will not arrive with pomp and circumstance. He will not demand recognition. He will not ask for a ticker tape parade, using your language. No press conferences. He will not promote himself, but will gently do my will. That's my boy. That's my son. He won't shout and raise his voice. He won't need to, because my spirit's upon him. And when he walks through, people will see that spirit being upon him. He will be soft-spoken, but he will have resolve and purpose in his mind, because he knows who he is and he knows his destiny. He will be gentle. He will not bruise a reed, nor will he snuff out a smoldering wick. And his gentleness will be known. He will treat the bruise with immense care and love. A bruised reed is a reed that is bent over. And everybody has a tendency in this world to take that reed and break it off. But not him. He will take that reed, he will straighten it up and restore it to its original condition. There will be those out there that will be downtrodden, be beaten up by the world. And it's so easy to let them go and smolder out. Just like a piece of flax in an oil lamp that's smoldering and ready to go out because of lack of oil. So easy for us or humankind to go like, psst, put it out. But not him. He is going to gently blow life back into that, because he brings hope. And those crushed by the world will be restored. And those that are bent will be straightened. And those that are ready to give up will be fanned into flame to say, there is hope. There is hope. He will give them encouragement. He will heal the sick. He will make the blind see again. That's the nature of my son. He will be faithful to me. He will be faithful and he will bring forth justice. This is the second time I'm telling all of you that he's going to bring forth justice. He will be faithful to me unto death. He will be faithful because his love to me and his love to all of you. That's his faithfulness. Not only that, he will be determined to bring that justice. He will be fixed on that justice. He will not fail in his objective to establish this justice. And I'm telling you this for the third time, that he will be determined. There will be no disciples that will argue with him to say, don't go, because he will go. There will be no amount of temptation from Satan to say, I'll give you all this if you just follow me. He will be steadfast. He will be steadfast in the midst of persecution. He will be steadfast when they spit upon him, when they beat him to a pulp, when they put him up on that cross and they crucify him. He will be steadfast. And he won't back down. He won't back down. And his last words will be, it is finished. Justice is taken care of. I'm now giving all of you the right to go to God through me. I've restored that relationship. That's what he'll do. He will restore that relationship. And it's him, this little baby, that the world can place their hope. Their hope in this little baby for salvation, to all that will accept him.
I have a promise to make, says God.
I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. There will be nothing unholy or unrighteous about you, my son, or about this act. I will hold your hand and guide you. That's what I will do, my son. I will take that hand and guide you. And I will make you a covenant for the people, a promise from me to them through you, a promise of me, of my relationship with them through the act on the cross. And you will be faithful to me because you will open the eyes that are blind, set the captives free from prison, and release them from the dungeons of those who sit in darkness. That's my boy. That's his purpose. That's his cause. That's his destiny. And that covenant won't be just for your people. That covenant will be for the world. That promise will be available to the world. I, as God, have authority over your destiny. By my authority as Lord over all, that's who I am. This child will share in my glory and be glorified himself. Now, I'm not going to give my glory to anybody, but my son will display it, will be it. And you know, no one else can fulfill these promises. Nobody's going to fulfill these promises except me and my son. No one's going to fulfill the promises. And the former things we used to know, they're going to change. The old covenant, that if you do things right, you'll be blessed. But if you do things wrong, you won't be blessed. That is out the window. The new covenant is, this is my son who died for your sins. Do you want to accept them or don't you? And if you accept them, you have that personal relationship with him. This is an announcement I'm making 700 years, son, before you're born. I'm making this announcement so when it happens, you that are faithful to God's word will understand, and there'll be no confusion about who this son is. And son, it will be the time in which the earth will need to sing a new tune. And we sing a new song. You as a servant will bring light into the dark world, a new birth for you and all mankind. Through you, mankind will be restored to me as it was when I walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. That's the restoration. A new covenant. For I so loved them that I gave you, my only son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so it happened, and here you are. As it was announced by the angels in Luke 2:10-11. But the angels said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Will I
opened up my Bible the other day and made my way down to the manger just to see what I could see. Wrapped up in that feeding trough was the Savior of the world. There he was in that cold, damp place with no place to lay his head. You see, the fox had a hole and the bird had a nest, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. No, the only place he ever had to lay his head was on the cross, just after he declared, "It is finished." And what had been finished on that cross was only just beginning right there in that very manger. You see, the Bible says that this was Emmanuel, God with us. That means God in the valley and God on the mountaintop, God in the cancer ward, God on the homeless street, God in the midst of the chains of addiction, God when I'm mourning death, God when I'm losing my mind, God when my health is failing, God when the world's economy is crashing in, and God in the midst of war, God who brings peace, goodwill, and salvation to every man, woman, and child. Hey, that's what I saw down there in that manger. God the Almighty himself moving into the neighborhood and taking up residence. Behold the new neighbor, but more than that, behold the king of the block. Can't no homeowners association contain him or restrict him. And look, here comes the Holy Spirit, and he's driving the heavenly freight truck. Cause Jesus is moving in the midst of our despair to save the day. With flames a-blazing and wind at his sail, all government will rest on his shoulder. He'll provide counsel for the broken and strength for the weak. He won't get tired and he won't grow weary, cause he is everlasting. He'll reign in peace forever and ever, and there won't be no evil in existence who can overthrow him. He'll reign on his throne and deal with everybody the right way. And best of all, I said best of all, the last thing they brought off that truck was the cross of Jesus. You know what that means? That means he's coming to wipe the slate clean and make us whole again. Though we were neck deep in our stubborn, rebellious ways, though we charted our course on our own that left us destitute and miserable, we couldn't go to bed without shame, we couldn't get up without guilt. But in one fell swoop, that baby's gonna grow up and offer himself up for you and I. And why? Because of his great love. Hey, that's what I saw in the manger this day. A new day, a better day, and a better way. Hope to the hopeless, freedom to the prisoner, everlasting life to the dying, and salvation for mankind. Good glory, we'll never be the same. I said we'll never be the same. Oh, my, yes. That's what I saw in the manger. Yes, that's what I saw in the manger.
What child is this? Born to us 2009 years ago. A savior for all people. One soft-spoken, not boisterous or overbearing. One gentle who wouldn't hurt a fly, who will take those beat up and bruised by the world and restore them to health, both spiritually and physically. One who will fan in the flames those whose hope is just a flickering ember. One who is faithful to his Father to fulfill his promises. One who will not quit until the job is finished on the cross for the salvation of all mankind. One who fulfilled all that the Father had asked, and one who has brought joy and hope to the world
and a new song. Yes, a new song in our hearts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son. My Father sending his one and only Son to die for us on that cross. We thank you, Lord, because now we know what child is this. And there is no doubt in our minds because you told us that 700 years before this baby was born and laid in that manger in a barn with the animals. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that as people of God, that we're able to take this message throughout the world, that we can bring this world a joy that they've not seen before, that we can sing to them a new song, that we can be there with the Spirit of God to upright every broken reed, to blow into life again lives that have been broken and almost snuffed out. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to bring your Spirit to all those, that need you and that need a Savior. There are some of you out there that may not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some out there that have not heard this story even. And I ask you to consider accepting him today. To accept him, that's when you repent of your ways and you say, I want this new Savior. I understand this child. I want to run to him and I want to accept him as my personal Savior. Those that have not accepted him, think about this prayer and say it in your minds and your hearts. Lord, I repent of my sins and I go forward in you, the Christ child, our Savior who died on the cross. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if there are those in here that have said that for the very first time, I just ask that you put your hand up and right back down. Put your hand up and right back down. For today is a day of salvation. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And I thank you that we're blessed with a family of God that can get excited about you. Help us to walk that walk and talk that talk each and every day. And help us to tell the world about your nature, about your character, about your purpose. And about the fulfillment of your destiny to save the world. And I pray this with all earnesty from the bottom of my heart. I pray this in your name, the name above all others, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.